most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six places to use FastPass Plus at the Magic Kingdom. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 18 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of April 26, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into today's topic, please stick around until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. Today we have a useful topic in looking at the best places to use your FastPass Plus reservations. As of the taping of this episode in early 2015, it seems that Walt Disney World is more or less settled into its current rules for using FastPass Plus, although they could change at any time. Today you get three FastPass Plus reservations, and after you've used them up, you can get additional reservations, but only if there are reservations left and only if there's time that remains in your day. That means it's important to use your first three FastPass Plus reservations in a very smart way. Today, we're going to look at the top six places to use your FastPass Plus reservations at the Magic Kingdom. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who checks his FastPass Plus list and checks it twice, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I suppose that's true now. I've adopted the FastPass Plus system as a necessary part of Walt Disney World now.
It is part of the experience.
I didn't for a long time.
Yeah. I think it grows on people. It certainly has grown on me as a local. I appreciate it, and I can get into that later on. But
I just, you know, I come from the days where we didn't really plan our trip. We went there for the day, and we saw stuff, and we waited in line. And if we didn't want to wait in line for something, we went and did something else and tried later. And, you know, even when the fast passes were the paper things, I never really use them a lot. It was something that I hadn't really just wrapped my brain around, and now it's really kind of a necessary thing to not only have them but kind of plan them ahead if possible for some of the attractions. And you know, I still feel that it kind of makes you check the time a bit more and kind of you start tailoring your day around these things. But on our most recent trip, we used them and we got into things we probably wouldn't have otherwise, and it was great. So yeah, I'm definitely learning how to appreciate the FastPass Plus system.
Me too. I think when FastPass Plus first came out, and even to an extent with just FastPass, I heard a lot of comments about how it was taking the spontaneity out of a trip to Walt Disney World. My take is always that a trip to Walt Disney World is a little bit like a trip to Europe. Yeah, I guess you could just jump on a plane and go there, but most people aren't going to do that. They're going to do some planning ahead, and when you do some planning ahead, you get a better experience. For me as a local, I have really come to appreciate FastPass Plus because it gives me some options that I would never have before. So in the past with FastPass, if I wanted to go on Soarin' at Epcot, I pretty much needed to be there when the park opened or all the FastPass tickets were going to be gone. Now, I have an opportunity to get a FastPass Plus reservation because I don't have to be there when the rope drops. So I think there are a lot of interesting angles that, for me, have made FastPass Plus kind of a positive change. But I know it was a big change, and people have a lot of different feelings about it.
Agreed. I think it's something that if you know about it and if you use it to your advantage, it can really improve your trip and your experience. And I definitely can say after really having used the system on my last trip, I'm semi-converted to the system now.
Good. Well, hopefully some of the tips we'll share today will help people use their FastPass Plus reservations in the most effective way. But before we get into the topic for today, I'd like to start up with a warm-up question. It's easy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's your question. Snow White's Scary Adventure or Princess Fairy Tale Hall?
Snow White's Scary Adventure.
Really? All right, tell me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a couple reasons. You know, I don't necessarily... I like meet and greets to a point. I like seeing the characters that I'm a fan of. I love seeing Buzz Lightyear, for example. But I'm not one to wait a long time for the princesses to begin with. So on a just conceptual level of the attraction, I really have no personal interest vested in it. My daughter is almost 19, so it's not like she's really wanting to go there to meet the princesses. So for me, it's the Princess Fairy Tale Hall really has no interest. So I really like the Snow White ride, the Snow White Fairy Adventure. It was fun. It's been there for a long time. It's a classic, and that was something that I enjoyed doing. So on a personal level, that's why.
That makes sense. I miss Snow White's Scary Adventure. I think it was a classic ride, just like you said, classic Disney dark ride. Usually I vote for nostalgia, but in this case, I'll vote with my supply and demand brain, and I'll go for Princess Fairy Tale Hall. I always hurt a little bit when Disney takes something away, and Snow White's Scary Adventure was something like that. In a sense, it was a takeaway. But when I hear about the lines of little girls waiting to meet their fair princess, I can understand why Disney made this change. There is a huge demand for meet and greet with princess, and I think Princess Fairy Tale Hall helps to make that process better. And so for me, it was a move that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And I think it's great that they have the princesses kind of put in that one spot, like you said. That just streamlines the whole process, having to go all over and find, you know, if you do have a young, you know, child with you who is in the princesses, rather having to go over here to see one or here to see the other, having like that one central spot is great. So yeah, from a logistics standpoint, I totally see it. It's just obviously, personally, I would rather go on the ride than you know, wait in line for a princess. So, although I did wait in line about 30 minutes for Tinkerbell last time I was there. So I suppose it really depends on the character for me.
That's true. Okay, good. So let's take a look at top six places to use FastPass Plus reservations at the Magic Kingdom. So Aaron, number one's over to you.
Number one for me is Peter Pan. Peter Pan's flight in Fantasyland has been around for a long time. It's you know, a classic, and it always has one of the longest lines in the park. I don't know why. It's a great ride. Don't get me wrong. You know, you get into the pirate ship vehicle, and you fly over London, and you fly through Neverland, and you've got the scenes from the movie. And it's a great ride. It's for some reason, it always has anywhere from generally an hour to 2 hour wait. I've seen it down to about 35, 45 minutes, like during wishes. And it's like, ooh, look, there's a short wait for it. But often there's waits up to like 100 minutes. And this is when other things around it, like It's a Small World or other attractions in the area, have 5 or 10 minute waits. It's just one of these rides that has a huge, huge, huge line for it every time. And if you can get a fast pass for it to eliminate that, then so much the better.
I agree. It is a very smart move if you are going to take in Peter Pan's flight to get a Fast Pass Plus reservation. I enjoy Peter Pan's flight. I think the idea that you can fly is good. The new interactive queue is awesome and really extends the story. I think they've done a really good job with that, and I enjoy that attraction. Sometimes I wonder, why is there such a long line for this? Some of it must come down to capacity, I think. I've often thought we should do a podcast about attractions that have really long lines, and we're not sure why. Peter Pan's flight may be one of them. Even though I really enjoy it, it's hard for me sometimes to understand the 100-minute wait. But because there often is a 100-minute wait, I think it's a terrific choice for a FastPass Plus reservation. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, you'll miss the interactive queue stuff with a FastPass, which is, you know, it is, as you said, it's really cool. But if it's, you know, wait for 100 minutes in the interactive queue or take a fast pass and get in there in 5 or 10 minutes, then obviously, you know, I don't know anyone that's going to go with the longer wait. And yeah, I mean, it's a great ride. It's a lot of fun, and I love Peter Pan, but it is just weird how busy that one is consistently throughout the day.
Yeah, I agree. Great use of FastPass Plus there. Okay, number two is over to me, and I'm going to stick in Fantasyland, and I'm going to the thing we talked about earlier on the show, Princess Fairy Tale Hall. Anna and Elsa craziness still goes on. The wait times to meet those princesses are up to 200 minutes, which I guess is better than the 5 or 6 hours, but is still a huge chunk of time out of someone's day. So if you have someone in your traveling party who has any interest in seeing Anna or Elsa, I would suggest that the minute the FastPass Plus reservation window opens for you, if you're a Disney Resort guest or if you're just a day guest, get your FastPass Plus reservation for Princess Fairytale Hall. It will save you hours of waiting, and you'll get your chance to meet the princesses. I think it's one of the best uses of FastPass Plus, if that's something that's important to the people in your traveling party.
Yeah, definitely. It is interesting just the characters and how popular they can be. I know someone a few years ago, before Frozen came out, who waited about 4 hours for Merida from Brave, because they had a young girl who really wanted to be Merida. So there's definitely a demand for it. So being able to speed that up is a good thing.
Yeah. And to me, this is one of the areas where, even though it may have its downside, FastPass and now FastPass Plus really shines. So some people will stand in line for those 200 minutes or those 4 hours, or 6 hours, and that's a huge chunk of your day at Walt Disney World. But if you use and the technology and plan ahead a little bit, you can do something else with those 4 hours or 6 hours. You don't have to spend that time waiting in line. And to me, that really is very special. It's something that Disney has innovated and created, this technology that really makes for a better experience. And Princess Fairytale Hall is a great place to use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, number three, back over to you.
So next one for me, we're still in Fantasyland, and New Fantasyland specifically, and it's the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Now, this is a roller coaster, and it's new. So part of the busyness for it is just because it's a new attraction. And so a lot of people who maybe have been to the parks before are coming back again for another trip, may not have seen this one yet. And it's a really cool ride. So a lot of people are, you know, who even have seen it are trying to see it again. And waits for this one without a fast pass can be anywhere between 60 and 80 minutes is the average. It can definitely be higher than that. You can get lucky and be lower than that. This is another one with an interactive queue that you'll miss if you use the fast pass, but you're also saving yourself an hour or more. It's a great ride. It's a lot of fun. I got the opportunity to ride it a couple of times on my last trip. It's definitely worth it. And I think they did such a great job with it. But the combination of just it being a really cool ride, it being a thrill ride, and there's often seem to be a little busier, and it being a fairly new attraction means it has fairly long lines, and it's a good one to use a FastPass Plus on.
I agree with you. I don't think I've ever walked by and seen a wait time of less than 60 minutes, and that's a lot of time to wait for any attraction. It's a great attraction. I love what they did by combining a relatively mild roller coaster, which makes sense for its location, with the story and the animatronics. Really, I think it's an instant classic. I think Disney has a home run in that attraction. And like you said, it's still relatively new. It's popular, and all of that's going to translate into a long wait time. So a good use of FastPass Plus on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Okay, number four is over to me. And you know what? We just can't get out of Fantasyland. I am headed over to Enchanted Tales with Belle. This is another one where I think Disney has done something really interesting in not just a meet and greet, because it's not really a meet and greet per se. It's more an interactive story. I love the fact that you get to go to Belle's house, that you get to walk through the magic mirror and into the library. That was an amazing special effect. And you get to have a little conversation with Madame Wardrobe, and you get to play a part in the story with Belle. And, you know, even me, I got to play a horse or something one time. I was sort of drafted into the role. I didn't volunteer. But, you know, it was still fun. I enjoyed it. I like the fact that... Sorry.
Saying you were a draft horse?
Ta-ta-po.
Sorry. Yeah. You were saying?
I like that. this has really taken interactive to a new level, Enchanted Tales with Belle. And I've got to imagine that because it's a relatively long experience, and, there's only so much time that Belle has to be able to spend with the guests of Walt Disney World, it means you've got to wait. 30 to 50 minutes, I think, is pretty typical. So if you are someone who may enjoy Enchanted Tales with Belle, I think it's a good use for FastPass Plus. And I think if you hear the name and you say, it's a princess meet and greet, to me, it's much more than that. It's really being part of a story and getting to see some really top-notch special effects and just a fun experience. So for people who may have overlooked Enchanted Tales with Belle, either because they don't think it's their cup of tea or because they think you have to wait too long, I would suggest take a second look. And when you do, I would suggest use a FastPass Plus.
I absolutely agree. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I went with my wife, and we're just an adult couple that had gone and went to see it. And it's a lot of fun, and it's, as you said, it's this great show and this great story. And the technology across the board in this attraction, it's mind-blowing. The Magic Mirror, which has a projection on it, you're looking at a screen in this mirror, you're looking at the scenes from the movie, and also the mirror grows and becomes a door that you walk through, and the animatronics for Lumiere in the main room, and the all of it, it's they knock you out of the park in terms of just the technology application in this. So for that alone, I was floored. And it's a great attraction. Like, it's a lot of fun, and it was cool to see. My wife is also made a part of the story. She was the wardrobe in the play. But it's definitely, as you said, it's regardless of your age, regardless of if you think it's going to be silly, it's really cool to see, and it's got a long wait, so it's definitely one that's worth using that fast pass on.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? I completely agree on the technology side of things. The Lumiere animatronic is just extraordinary. I mean, how they put that together is amazing. So, yeah, it's got long lines for good reason, and it's a great choice for FastPass Plus. All right, that was number four. We're over to you with number five.
So we're finally leaving Fantasyland. We're actually going back towards the entrance of the park into Town Square. And this is a meet and greet. It's the Town Square Theater and the magician Mickey Mouse. Now, the waits for this, they can vary. Some sites say it's between 30 and 60 minutes for a wait. When I was there in February, the waits generally averaged about 45 to 60 minutes is kind of, I would say, the average. So if you have FastPass for this, it definitely speeds that along. Even when we went fairly late at night, about 7:30, 8 o'clock, there's still about a 35-minute wait. So the meet and greet for this, the big thing about this meet and greet in particular is it's the new technology with the character. So instead of just a static face with Mickey Mouse just sitting there and waving and his mouth not moving, his eyes blink, his mouth moves, he talks. It's worlds ahead of a lot of the other costume meet and greets. And we were talking a bit about this earlier, you and I, before we started the recording, and I'm not sure if it's live speech or pre-recorded. If it's pre-recorded, it's really impressive because my wife and I went, and I was wearing a Haunted Mansion t-shirt, and he started talking about the Haunted Mansion, and was saying, talking about the Hitchhiking Ghosts, and he was running around the room looking, because in Haunted Mansion, they say, a ghost will follow you home. So he was looking around hunting for the ghosts that had followed him, and he suggested we pose like Hitchhiking Ghosts. So if that was all pre-recorded, then someone had to obviously indicate that I was wearing a Haunted Mansion t-shirt, and it was a back and forth. Like, we would say something, and then he would respond, and then we would say something back, and then he would respond to that. So it's amazing technology, whether it's a pre-recorded set of statements or whether it's a live person actually talking like Mickey, and it's tuning it to sound like Mickey. Regardless, it's really cool. And regardless of your feeling on meet and greets, even if you think they're kind of silly and you're not really into the meet and characters, this one is worth checking out because it is such a cool interactive costume. And if you can save yourself 45 minutes with a fast pass, then so much the better.
Yeah, I think you're right. So even if you really have no interest at all in getting your picture taken with Mickey Mouse, still check out this attraction. The technology is wonderful. And it's done so well that, like we were talking before, you can't really say just how it's done. It just works really well. And I would love to know what's happening behind the scenes. So is this taking someone's voice and changing it into Mickey Mouse? Is this a series of pre-recorded snippets? I really don't know, because it all comes together so well. It's just a seamless experience. And I think it's often overlooked. I think people say, well, I'm not interested in a meet and greet, or they're rushing down Main Street USA because they're on their way to something else. But this is a terrific attraction. I think a great use of FastPass Plus.
I think this one is definitely one that is probably busier earlier in the day as well. Because it's one of the first things you see when you come through the park entrance. You know, once you get to the gate and you go through that archway, it's immediately to your right. So I feel that a lot of people probably stop. It's similar to Spaceship Earth in Epcot, where early in the day, it's really busy. There's a huge line because everyone's stopping there. But if you go back a few hours later, you may save yourself 20 minutes or so. The Town Square Theater still has a long wait throughout the day. But if something you want to hit early, then I would say definitely get a fast pass early. If you're going to go later in the day, you know, you might still be waiting 30, 35 minutes. But it's one that I highly recommend.
Yeah, it's a great attraction. A good choice for FastPass Plus, too. Okay, we're down to the last item, number 6. And I am going to go over to Tomorrowland and Space Mountain. So my experience is that Space Mountain, it usually has maybe at least a 30-minute wait, but sometimes it gets up to 90 minutes, that the wait is quite variable. So it may depend on when you hit it, but it's pretty typical that you're going to be waiting at least a half hour in line to get on Space Mountain. And, you know, 60 minutes, 90 minutes is not unheard of, even times bigger than that. So if you're interested in Space Mountain and you don't mind a little bit of a bumpy roller coaster, which can be a lot of fun, I think FastPass Plus is a good choice. I could probably sneak in the other mountains in the Magic Kingdom as well. They all tend to be quite popular and have waits of at least 30 to 60 minutes on a busy day. But I think Space Mountain especially would be a good choice for FastPass Plus.
Definitely, yeah. I've seen waits of about 70 minutes on a busy day there. It's still one of the popular ones. I mean, it's a classic. It's an icon. And it's a lot of fun. And like you said, the other mountains as well. I would say next behind Space Mountain would be Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
That one tends to be another one that if you can get a Fast Pass Plus for it. But Space Mountain, I would agree. I would say probably a little bit more so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've made it through the top 6 choices for using Fast Pass Plus at the Magic Kingdom. Number 1, Peter Pan's Flight. Number 2, Princess Fairy Tale Hall. Number 3, The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Number 4, Enchanted Tales with Belle. Number 5, Magician Mickey Mouse. And number 6, Space Mountain. So, Aaron, if people are interested in learning about more of what you're up to today, how can they do that?
Well, they can head on over to my my blog. It is Magic and Misadventures. That is magicandmisadventures.com. On that blog, I write about everything from my own personal experiences and trips and adventures at Disney World to rants about things closing. I ranted about Maelstrom closing, for example. I often give trip advice and suggestions. Recently, my wife and I went and we decorated our Magic Bands before we went, and I posted a big thing, basically a step-by-step on how we did that. With a lot of pictures, people want to do that. So it's really a lot of different things, all focused on Disney and Walt Disney World. There's also on there a page for my social media, which is Instagram, where I just post pictures I've taken over the years from Walt Disney World. I've got a Facebook page, which is, you know, a great place if you want to see pictures and talk about Disney. And I've got a Twitter feed as well that I occasionally use. That one's a little bit more video games and Star Wars lately, but, you know, they're welcome to follow me. So, yeah, magicandmisadventures.com, and from there they can they can find me all over.
Great. I always enjoy checking out your site. You've got a lot of good stuff there. And if I'm looking for a Haunted Mansion fix, I know where to go.
That's true, yeah. I have one Haunted Mansion post up there so far, and there's another one coming.
Excellent. Okay, Aaron, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, we've made it through the list of the top six places to use FastPass Plus at the Magic Kingdom, but our conversation isn't over. I would love to hear what you think about the list. Is there something you'd like to add? You can. Check out the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/18 or worldofwalt.com/mkfastpass. Both of those links go to the same page, which works great on smartphones, tablets, and desktops. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. If you liked today's podcast, I would really appreciate it if you would rate and review it on iTunes. It's easy to do by following the simple instructions that you can find at worldofwalt.com/iTunes. For everyone who has already left a review on iTunes, thank you very much. If you thought today's podcast was not so grand, well, please don't rate it on iTunes. But actually, in either case, I would love to hear from you. It's easy to stay in touch with me. Let me know what you think about today's show, or just stop by and say hi. There are four simple ways that you can get in touch with me. Number one, send an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. Number two, leave a voicemail message for me at 407-391-5023. Number three, leave an online voicemail message at worldofwalt.com/voicemail. Or number four, check me out on social media. At Facebook, you can find me at facebook.com/worldofwalt. And on Pinterest, you can find me at pinterest.com/worldofwalt. I'd like to invite you to enter a special contest that's open to everyone who listens to this podcast and visits the show notes page. Head over to the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/18, and there you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on the page. It's my way of saying thanks for listening. To wrap up today's show, I'd like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who takes time to visit the worldofwalt.com website. On the site, you can read interesting articles, enter sweepstakes for great prizes, and chat with other folks who like Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the website, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you very much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.